Hey, what's going on? It's Bill Burr, and it is time for the Thursday afternoon, just before Friday, Monday morning podcast, and I'm just checking in on you, motherfuckers. How are you? How is your week going? Oh, that's love. Don't let it get you down. You know? I'm recording this fucking Wednesday night. I got so much shit to do tomorrow. I didn't even realize it. You know, it's the usual shit. You know, honey, I'm just gonna do a bunch of stuff. I was wondering, is there any way that you could handle the other stuff? I was gonna do this stuff. Can you do that stuff? Well, you know, I was already had some stuff. Honey, it would be a big help if you could just do the stuff that you need to do plus the stuff that you were already going to do. That bullshit. It happens. It's one of those things that happens. You know, I don't know what the fuck to tell you guys. Hey, I'm starting a Patreon page, by the way. I don't know when it's coming out, but it's going to be all this extra shit. A bunch of extra shit. A whole bunch of extra shit. And, you know, I got some helicopter videos and whatnot and some other shit. This is sort of a pre-promotional thing here. I don't even know if I was supposed to bring it up. I think I was supposed to wait until I had more shit on the sat. You know what I mean? So it'll be worth it. Worth it to you. I'm basically just trying to become this little fucking... You know, you ever go to your little town, there's this little place that makes little candies, you know? And they just fucking, they hang in there. Despite the fact across the street there's a McDonald's or, you know, there's a fucking Walmart or some shit. There's just this fucking guy down there. He repairs shoes, whatever the fuck he does. That's all I'm trying to do in this business. Just trying to have my little fucking shop. Be bringing enough fucking money on my own so these thieving cunts out here, you know? I can't even tell you some of the shit that I've done. Like, I've really, like, a long time ago, I saw this documentary, and this fucking musician said, you are better to own something 100% and sell 20,000 copies than to not own it at all and sell 20 million. You're actually going to make more if you just sell 20,000 if it's your own, if you own it. And it's one of the truest fucking things I've ever heard other than, don't stay friends with your ex-girlfriend. You know, you break up with the girl, you got to get the fuck away from her. Because, you know, it's just, it's, you know, what? Don't listen to me. Generally speaking, some of them are cool. Some of them get it. Some of them are happy for you. The rest of them, Jesus, you got to get away from them. You know what I mean? It's like when there's mold in the house. You got to go or you're going to die. Okay, does that make sense? Do I need to sing a song about it? I don't know what the fuck to tell you. All I know is that I am sitting here alone in this goddamn room and my fucking chest hurts. I think I have a bruised sternum. This fucking guy, like the end of last year, he was trying to show me what the fuck happened on this football play. And I, as he was coming towards me, I should have been like, dude, I saw it. I saw the play and he went to pick me up and he fucking compacted my fucking ribs. And I think it fucked up my sternum. Either that or I have a tumor. I don't know what it is, but, you know, I'm going to go see a doctor about it. See what the deal is now that I've fucking been here for like, why does this fucking couch scratch ups? Do they make anything nice anymore? But these fucking leather couches, you stick anything on it and everything gets all fucked at, fucking hacked up. Look at this shit. Jesus Christ. Who gives a fuck, right? I guess that adds character. But it looks like a bunch of hack marks on it. Anyways, college football starts this weekend. Wrong song. Ba 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 ba. They're all the same fucking song. Ba 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 boo ba beep boo boo beep bo 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 bo. You know, people have some sort of hand gesture that they fucking throw up, right? Anyways, like most beginnings of most college football seasons, there's not a lot of good games. Okay, so the ones you want to look out here, speaking of, is University of Michigan, Yale to the victors, valiant, right? Against Notre Dame. He was in the fucking hospital. He was dying and he said, win 1-4. Fucking me, because I'm a selfish cunt. And I'm still thinking about me. I don't even know if that even happened. Win one for the Gipper. Was that Hollywood adding dialogue? Some shit that was never said? You know? Like, you complete me? Anyways, another good one is LSU versus Miami. That could be a decent one, just as far as ranked teams actually playing each other. Other than that, Virginia Tech, Florida State, 20 versus 19. I love it. How the fuck do they do the rankings? So many people leave. How do they figure out who's what? You know, you can watch number 4 Wisconsin against Western Kentucky. What do you think the spread is on that? Look at TCU's not ranked against Southern U. Come on, Frogs, what happened? I don't know why I fucking... You know, I know why, because they came to the Rose Bowl that one time and everybody was dressed like a fucking douchebag. Everybody, all the guys were all dressed like J.R. Ewing. You know, there's like dressing classy, right? And then there's just like, you're just a privileged cunt. And it's neither one of those is probably true. Well, actually, dressing classy is true. But the second part, they probably weren't even privileged cunts. I probably just looked at them and just judged the shit out of them. That's probably what really happened. I bet there's nothing wrong with TCU. Come on, Frogs. I don't know what they just look like assholes. Not the women, just the guys. Sitting there, you know what I mean? Sitting there in their stupid fucking loafers in a fucking blue blazer. Who wears that to a football game? Right? Why are you dressed like an usher? I don't know. It's amazing how long ago I saw that and the fact that it still bugs me. It doesn't bug me as much as how easily these chairs fucking scratch, evidently. Oh, well. What are you going to do? You know what I mean? You know what's funny is I got these chairs not for a lot of money because they're like, hey, here's some vintage fucking chairs, right? It's like, I don't want these old ass fuck. First, I want $1 zillion for these vintage leather chairs, right? So I'm like, I'll just buy some new ones and I'll put the fucking hack marks in them. And now every hack mark that goes in it, now I'm like, oh, what happened? What happened, Bill, was exactly what you said you wanted in your couches and now that's happening and now you're upset about it. All right, fair enough. Fair enough. How about those Red Sox? Huh? Pouring it on. The offense, the bats hanging in there. Hanging in there while our pitching staff all goes on the fucking DL. Chris Sale, once again, is on the 10-day disabled list. David Price got hit by a line drive. Oh, come back right to the mound. X-rays were negative, but they're going to take more X-rays, you know. So we shall see. That's why I'm at ESPN. Oh, it's all over. Or beginning of August. You never know what can happen with all the fucking injuries. So anyways, I was watching that. Did I tell you what my daughter does? You know, it's fucking hilarious. Did I tell you she imitates the old man noises I make when I pick her up? I go, all right, come on, sweetie, let's go. And I pick her up. Ugh. She looks at me and she goes, ugh. I don't even know. Maybe I already told you that story. I'm old. I don't remember. Speaking of old, I went to the gym today, and after bragging about my perfect form, I somehow threw out my back trying to make sure I was doing the middle of my back trapeze exercises so my fucking chest and shoulders wouldn't pull my fucking... No, my chest wouldn't pull my shoulders forward again so I wouldn't fuck up my rotator cuffs. My rotator cuff's doing great, and then I end up fucking up my back. I can't win. I think I'm at that age where I got to, I got to. Somebody finally said, it's like, why don't you get a fucking personal trainer and just have them go over there. All the exercises you're going to do, they'll put together a workout plan. They'll tell you how to do the exercise correctly. And I've always said, nah, fuck that. I know what I'm doing. You know why I know what I'm doing? Because in the 80s, I went over to a friend's house. And he's going, come on, let's work out. Like a friend of mine, just get you a bench. Do this. Nothing about grip. Nothing about form. Nothing. Do some curls. This is good for you. You didn't fucking know. And then you go to the, then you join the gym, right? You join Gold's or World Gym or whatever the fuck it was, right? Back in the day. And then you just see somebody doing an exercise and, you know, they seemed approachable. You'd be like, hey, what's that? What does that do? And if they seemed intimidating, you just sort of watch it out of the corner of your eye. And then you just start doing it. You had no idea what you were doing, what the fuck it was working. You would basically guess what it was doing. And then you didn't work the opposite muscle and you fucked yourself up. Had I just gone out and got a personal trainer from day one, if they even fucking existed back in the 80s, I don't think they did. You just went to the gym. I wouldn't have all of these problems today. So there you go. There you go, everybody. If you're learning how to play drums, wear earplugs from day one. If you're going to go to the gym, get a fucking trainer from day one. Learn what the fuck, the correct way to do shit so you don't end up like me. End up hurting yourself trying to fix something else. My fucking shoulder's doing great. There's nothing worse than throwing out the top of your back. I don't know what it is. Lower back, I'm just so used to that pain, it's like acceptable. The top of your back, it's just fucking, I don't know how to explain it. Takes your breath away. So I've been dealing with that all day, you know what I mean? And my kiddo, you know, she likes getting picked up all the time. So I was making extra old man noises. Anyways, but it's still worth it. Back pain for a kid is the best. No worries. You know, I'll take that any day of the week. The kid's a fucking riot. She's got a great sense of humor. And she likes to roughhouse. It's perfect. It's perfect, you know? Oh, she loves Vampirina, man. I got to tell you, I'm getting sick of that show. You know? The fucking little blue chick, she's always having problems fitting in. I get it. She's different every fucking goddamn episode. And then the other two people have to fucking help her out. You know what she reminds me of? She reminds me of an addict, you know, where it's always about them and you got to feel, oh, no, no, you're doing great. What's the matter? What's the matter now? You know? I don't really mind. Fancy Nancy's the one. I don't like that one. That fucking chick. All she's just sitting there. All she's about is material things. She's always trying to have the nicest shit. She somehow gets status and then get friends or whatever. It's like, what the fuck are we watching? I don't want to watch this shit. You know? So instead, I was watching a little bit of the Red Sox with my daughter before she went to bed. And then afterwards, you know, it's funny. I actually nodded off when I was watching Vampirina. And you have like that panic when you fall asleep for like 3 seconds that your kid's like walking up to an alligator or some shit. And I just opened my eyes and she was just looking right at me. And, and I opened my eyes. She just looks at me and she just goes, hi. I was like, what's up, buddy? Sorry. Old Freckles nodded off there. So anyways, I put her to bed and I went on Instagram. And I saw Joe Rogan was promoting or just talking about, oh, we just watched this documentary about Lynyrd Skynyrd. Ah! Sorry for the yawning. So I was like, oh, I got to check this shit out. And I just watched it. It's on Showtime. It's called If I Leave Here Tomorrow. And I got to tell you, man, these fucking old Southern guys that are still around. I mean, I literally had to put on the closed caption so I could understand what the fuck they were saying. And Jesus Christ. Incredible documentary, but it's also amazing at how similar, you know, so many of these band stories are, and it's just because they get into the music business, where they're getting fucking ripped off, and they just put them on the wheel, and the business just gives a shit about money, and they don't give a fuck if they run a band into the fucking ground, because there's always another band that they can sign. And plus, why would you want to rep an old band? They know all the tricks and how you're going to try to steal from them. They'll probably try to get the rights to their music back, so fuck them. You know? With any luck, they'll blame each other and break up, and then we'll move on to the next band. Like, that's literally how the music fucking business worked. So I'm sitting there watching this shit, and that whole just the work ethic and just keeping it simple in the beginning, and then they just get stuck in the craziness of touring. I don't want to ruin any of it, but definitely check it out. And just also how great the band sounds, and like just seeing people singing live and playing live with other human beings is incredible. I don't know, man. I'm kind of going off the rails here, dude. I can't remember the last time I watched something from this century. By the way, I've been watching that Peter Gunn on MeTV. That's where that song came from, right? That is the worst lit show in the history of anything that was ever fucking lit. At first, I thought it was like a style thing. Like, for you guys who ain't in the business there. Like, when they go to light a scene, I never understood why the shadow was like a big... Who gives a fuck if there's a shadow, right? But it's just like, if, you know, if you're in a room, okay, like, if... I don't even know how to explain this, because this is really beyond my ability. All I know is that's what's so fucked up, is they'll be in a dimly lit room, and one person's talking, and then there's a shadow behind them, and then somebody's right behind them, like right directly across talking from them. So if anything, the shadow of that person should be on the person talking. But when they turn around to go to that person, then that person has a shadow behind them. They literally had like one light and they just would stick it in front of people. So this episode ends. I'm not saying it's a bad show. It's just a badly, poorly lit show. This woman's standing there, and because she's standing in like the opening to this apartment building, where it's not straight on the walls. They sort of angle in towards the door. Her shadow is on both sides when she's standing there. And I was just like, okay, maybe that's how they lit the building and where she's standing. All right. Then she walks. It's the end of the episode. She goes down the street. Now we're behind her. And as she's walking away, as the camera rises up, you literally see the shadow of the camera and the fucking guy, the guy's head and body hanging off the side, going off the building in the background that she's walking towards. And it's like, how the fuck did somebody miss that? So, but you got to watch Peter Gunn, all right? It's on MeTV. I still highly recommend it. It's fucking hilarious. You will never see a character die faster. They only had fucking 22 minutes to have somebody get killed, to have Peter Gunn to try to figure out what the fuck happened, to have Peter get the living shit kicked out of him, and then for him to solve the fucking murder. They had to do all of that in 22 fucking minutes. So it always just starts. One of them started, they're like, ladies and gentlemen, on piano, please welcome 88 Keys Kitty, or whatever the fuck his name is. And the curtain comes up, and the guy's just sitting there with this weird look on his face, and then he just keels over with a knife in his back. And then it just goes, bam. So another one, a guy gets on a fucking elevator, and the elevator stops. He's pushing the button. He's like, what the fuck's going on? And all of a sudden, the trap door above it opens up, and a gun with the silencer comes through. Pew, pew. Fucking guy drops down dead. Goes down to the first floor, opens up. The guy reacts to the dead body. And that was it. Then they're right in there. And I got to tell you, Peter Gunn is sort of the precursor to that David Duchovny minimalist style of acting. Guy crushes it. And then also 77 Sunset Strip, they would do foreshadowing to the middle of the episode, like you saw at the beginning of Goodfellas and a lot of Martin Scorsese movies. And everybody always think, oh, they're ripping off Martin Scorsese. I'm like, wait a minute. 77 Sunset Strip did this shit. Maybe he watched a few episodes. I don't know. Let's see what this podcast is becoming. This is becoming an old fucking man. What are you guys watching that's worth watching? I don't know what it is, because my wife dominates the TV. I love her to death. What am I going to say? No. And she's literally sitting there. She's watching that Andy Cohen show where all the old ladies get together with their fucking 20 pounds of makeup, and they just start fucking saying mean shit to each other. I liked one of them. One of them was a drunk, clearly was a drunk, and they were telling her that she needed to go into rehab. She goes, I don't need to go into rehab. The only person I know went into rehab was my cousin, and that was because, you know, if she didn't, she'd go to jail. We're saying, like, that's why you go to rehab.
And they were like, yes, but sometimes you have to go to rehab because you have a problem. Well, I don't have a problem. I'm not going to problem. That's what she does. She did the fucking Archie Bunker. She went, like, fuck you guys. And you could just hear in her voice, even if she wasn't drunk, just like she's at that level of booze where the bottle has like a fucking handle, you know? It's like a jug. You're buying that cheap shit with like a carton of cigarettes. There is something to be said for going out like that, you know, to just give in to all of it. Sugar, salt, liquor, fucking smoke. I don't know. I think it's all good right up until you get sick and then you die. And then you're like, you know, I could have been fucking, I should have jogged and ate apricots. You know? Then what? I mean, if it really is just a blink of the eye. Well, you know, as far as how long the universe has been here. Oh, geez, I'm going deep now, right? Oh, deep for me anyways. If it really is a blink of the eye, just the amount of time that human beings have walked the earth, you know, who gives a fuck if you live to be 30 or fucking 100, right? Well, you know who gives a fuck? I guess the person. Because for you, that's a long fucking time or a really short time, right? I'm not saying, you know, I wouldn't give a fuck if I was dying. I'm just saying, you know what I mean? You know what I'm really saying is that I've been eating like an angel and I have barely been drinking and trying to get my abs back here. And this is one of these nights where, you know, I don't know. It's kind of gnawing at me. Where I used to drink booze, like my late night snack now is heirloom tomatoes. I just cut a few of them up and I actually fucking look forward to it. I like drinking smoothies in the morning. I fucking love that for breakfast with kale and spinach, bananas and fucking chia seeds and all of that shit. But every fucking once in a while, you know, by once in a while, I've kind of mean like every night this week. I just feel like just like fuck, you know, so I don't know. What do you do about that? You know, I just go, I'm just not going to do it right now. I'll go do a fucking podcast. I don't know. I don't know what the fuck that means. Probably means I have issues, right? It's weird because I haven't eaten any fucking ice cream, cookies, any of that fucking shit. And I'm not thinking about any of that at all. But booze is the one that always, it always comes back knocking, you know? Like, didn't Elizabeth Taylor marry, like, the same guy, like, twice? We always hear these fuck, I wonder what the fucking record is for that. Most times, two people got married. Most times, two people got remarried. What's going on in the world, by the way? What happened this week? Tennessee couple gets married a record 109 times. Go fuck yourself. I don't want to hear that. That's bullshit. World records for marriages and divorces. After knocking for 20, how many people in America get remarried? She get this woman tied the knot 23 fucking times. Jesus Christ. Talk about a codependent psychopath who can't fucking be alone. Grandmother is most married woman after tying the knot 23 times. Jeez, can you imagine the fucking check she was collecting? Actually, no, that's not true, right? Because once you marry the next person, Jesus Christ, how easy would it be to fucking divorce her? I'll make payments for 8 months. She'll fucking find somebody else getting married again. American grandmother Linda Wolf has become the most married woman in the world. I'm surprised she's not a great-grandmother. All that cock going into her, huh? After walking down the aisle 23 times and is now on the lookout for number 24, Mrs. Wolf, 68, is included in the Guinness Book of World Records for the dubious honor of being wed more times than anyone else alive. She must be the first time you're like, hey, could you not put your shoes here? You know what? Go fuck yourself. I'm out of here. It's over.
Linda, she has said she is addicted to romance, to the romance of getting married. Oh, she likes it in the beginning. Born Linda Lou Taylor, the American first married in 1957 at the age of 16 to a 31-year-old called George Scott, former first baseman of the Boston Red Sox. The union lasted for 7 years, the longest and happiest of any of her marriages. Since then, things have tended to go downhill. Oh, that's funny. She got divorced at 23 for the first time, and she went on to marry 23 times. Over the subsequent decades, she'd married a one-eyed convict, a preacher, a barman. It sounds like an Irish song. The green alligators and the one-eyed convict, a fucking preacher and a barman and a plumber, and musicians, plural. Oh, Jesus. Two turned out to be homosexuals, two were homeless, and one beat her. I mean, that's pretty good, man. You only got beat. You get married 23 times, you only get beat once. I mean, that's pretty good. You figure if somebody got married 23 times, they just had bad choices in men. Another put a padlock on her fridge. Oh, there's a guy. That's called marrying for looks. You're getting fat there, honey. I swear to God, you have another fucking biscuit. I'm putting a padlock on that fucking fridge. Watch me. Watch me. And then he fucking does it. And then she goes, go fuck yourself. I'm out of here. He was too controlling. He was counting the amount of Pop-Tarts I was eating. Okay, one marriage lasted just 36 hours because the love just wasn't there. But Linda from Indiana once married the same man, Jack Gurley, three times. She's had seven children by her different husbands and has been a stepmother to many more. Her last marriage a decade ago was a publicity stunt. It was to Glenn Wolfe, who when taking Linda as his bride meant he was the world's most married man at 29 times. 29 times? Oh, Jesus. He died a year later at 88. I bet God's first fucking statement to him was, what the fuck are you doing? What was that? Were you an asshole? After 17 times, did you really think the last 12 times are going to be different, you fucking moron? No sense sending you to hell, buddy. You've already been there. Come on in. All right. Consequently, she said she was on the lookout for number 24. She told the Sun, it's been years since I walked down the aisle. I miss it. Jesus Christ. She's like an athlete that doesn't know how to retire. The serial bride who now lives in a retirement home said she had never cheated on a husband. You didn't have fucking time to. She said if she had her life over again, she would never, ever marry so many men. Well, that ended kind of sad, right? So, of course, this is on one of these clickbait sites. What should every architect demand from a cloud? The most dangerous species alive. Donald Trump in his younger days. This mom never fed her daughter carbs. Which one do you guys want here? This is like Jeopardy for dumb people. Volkswagen CC test. Wild old age stop us seeing. Oh, wild. Will. My eyes are going here. Will old age stop us seeing our grandkids? 60 candid photos from the past. 8 coolest new cars. Final moments they never expected. Ah, you got to go with that. Oh, clickbait. Here we go. This is a new segment. This is a new segment called clickbait. All right, this is the last known picture of the RMS Titanic on the surface of the ocean. Yeah, because we found the fucker. It was taken during her maiden voyage at Crosshaven, Ireland. Just after the vessel departed Queenstown, where it had stopped before heading westward towards New York. 3 days after this photo was taken, 1,514 people would be dead, and the Titanic would be at the bottom of the North Atlantic after colliding with an iceberg in one of the deadliest peacetime maritime disasters in history.
How the fuck did you hit one of those goddamn things? I guess it was nighttime. Guy didn't have the lights on. You know, sometimes you're driving down the street, you had no idea. Okay, next page, okay? And they got three advertisements in there. For a jacket, a fucking microchip. All right, Andrew McCauley, 2007. Well, this doesn't look good. This is the last known photo of Andrew McCauley, an Australian sea kayaker, who is now presumed dead. McCauley attempted to kayak 994 miles across the Tasman Sea in February 2007 and was never found. Now, the fuck did they get that picture? Is that between... where's the Tasman? Is that between Tasmania and Australia? Fuck all the Australians that are acting like I'm dumb right now, okay? You're at the bottom of the fucking world. I don't know what goes on down there. Tasman Sea. Maybe I guessed correctly. The Tasman Sea. Oh, was he trying to get all the way over to New Zealand? Jesus Christ. In a fucking boat that's like designed to tip over? You know, I mean, you know, okay. All right. Well, he definitely was trying to protect his skin. All right. Freddie Mercury, 1991. Oh, Jesus. Looks like an old Pee Wee Herman. Freddie Mercury was the lead singer of Queens. He died of complications of AIDS related to AIDS. He confirmed the day before he died that he had contracted the disease. This is the last known photo. All right. Why the fuck would I want to see that? That's arguably the greatest frontman of all time. Amelia Earhart. 45 days before she embarked on an infamous flight that would render her both missing and eternally famous, Amelia Earhart posed for a photo shoot. Here she's seen standing in front of the Model 10 Electra that would carry her to her mysterious destiny. Korean Airlines flight 0007, 1983. This plane took off from New York and was shot down in Soviet airspace. Oh, Jesus Christ. This is just getting worse. The ARA saying, well, I thought there was going to be a bunch of people taking selfies on bridges. Steve Irwin, another Australian. The USS Maine, 1898. What did it fucking collide with Paul Revere? This is the wreckage of the American battleship Maine, which was destroyed along with 260 members of the blah, 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 likely by a mine. They had mines even back then. Fucking lit a bale of hay on fire. Send it out there and take out a wooden ship, right? All right, this is too creepy. Let's lighten it up with last selfies before death. Half of these are fake, by the way. Oh, there you go. 19 selfies taken moments before disaster. There's one with the fucking shark coming up. 10 selfies. These are all fucking bullshit. I like these things. I want images, though. Come on. A couple people climbing up on buildings. Oh, then there's the two beautiful girls in the fucking car. Oh, Jesus. There's a lot of them up, these fucking kids that, like, the free climbers there, they climb up the top of buildings. There's a lot of bullshit ones of guys in pools with bad pictures of great white sharks. All right, what am I doing here? Talking a lot about death here, huh? Anyways, let's get back. Let's talk about... I don't know what the fuck else to talk about. Have I done a fucking half hour at this point? You know, I think every once in a while, you should have... Oh, shit, 34 minutes. 34 minutes of I don't know what the fuck that was. Sorry, guys. I had to get this thing done because I got all this other bullshit I have to end up doing tomorrow. You know? I would like to think that the woman getting married 9 zillion fucking times, maybe there was a little bit of humor in there. I have no idea. I'm sorry. The fucking news nowadays, it's just too goddamn depressing. I don't know how you guys do it. How do you stay informed? Oh, congratulations to Dean Del Rey, everybody, who got his first Conan O'Brien. Went over there for the taping. He fucking killed it. It was Marc Maron who fucking ripped on guitar. You got to find that clip. After he killed it on the couch. He then went over
and jammed with the band and fucking played guitar at a whole other level. Then Bert Kreischer killed it. And then Dean Del Rey was fucking unbelievable. Former officer Roy Oliver sentenced to 15 years in fatal shooting of teen. Holy shit. A cop went to jail. You don't see that often, do you? Code of silence. The blue code. All right, what happened here? Former Texas police officer Roy Oliver was sentenced to 15 years in prison on Wednesday for the murder of a 15-year-old boy who was shot while riding in a car full of teens leaving a house party. Oliver, 38, was convicted on Tuesday in the fatal shooting of the high school freshman Jordan Edwards. All right. Hang on one second. Let me see something. Jordan Edwards. Teen shot. Oh, I thought it was going to be a white kid. So they actually sent a cop to jail for fucking killing a black kid. Well, there you go. Miracles never cease. Not shitting on the cops. I'm just saying, you know, there's bad comedians. There's bad cops, you know. Anyways, oh, Jesus. I probably just got myself a ticket right then and there. I swear to God, I'll tell you right now. That bald, freckled motherfucker drives a half fucking mile over the speed limit in my county. How dare he suggest that even though human beings are flawed, that maybe some of them are in my own profession. Why am I picking on Southern people there? I don't know, because I'm limited. All right, I'm going to read some advertising here whenever the fuck I get it. I'll probably read it tomorrow morning. If I leave here tomorrow. That's another thing, too. I watch all these old shows on MeTV, and everybody's drinking and smoking. And then I'm watching this whole thing on Lynyrd Skynyrd, and everybody's drinking, smoking, doing all this fucking shit. And, it starts giving you ideas. Maybe I got to start watching workout shows. Maybe I should do that. Are there workout shows? Whatever happened to The Biggest Loser? You know what happened? Is the fucking guy on there had a goddamn heart attack. Figure that one out. And the other woman, I don't know where she went. She broke off. She went solo. She started doing her own exercise videos, if I remember correctly. All right, I'm going to read some advertising here for y'all. Just going to read a couple of advertisements here for y'all. And then I'm going to, you're going to listen to some music. And then we're going to play some greatest hits from a Thursday afternoon podcast. From, I don't know, some fucking, I don't know when, earlier this year, maybe last year, 2 years ago. I don't fucking know. But I'll have more information on our the Patreon page. Got a bunch of things about all things comedy coming up, a bunch of things that I would love to announce now that I'm not allowed to announce due to contractual agreements, and some efforts for family shit. I got all this shit coming up. I know when it's coming out. The ink isn't dry yet, so I can't fucking announce it. I really want to tell you when efforts for family is coming out, but I'm not allowed to do so yet. I would like to tell you about some other shit we got going on, but I'm not allowed to, all right? I'm talking in circles. Here's the advertising. And have a great weekend, you cunts. And I'll see you on Monday. I'll be in there in a minute.
Okay.
All right. Burrow. Go ahead. You can get out. You can get out. I'll just sit here. Owning a couch from hell is like a rite or of passage, i.e. too expensive, too heavy, too cheap, too worn. I'm going to get out so I don't die without the fucking AC. Oh, you got to pull away from the curb. I just destroyed your door. Please use one of your negative couch experiences. I used to live with Bobby Kelly, and he used to find him on the sidewalk in New York City. So he had no idea what sort of crackhead slept and fucked on the thing. But then after he had a bowl of cereal on it, somehow it was yours. Was that personal enough? After all these years of suffering, you owe it to yourself to experience the comfort and quality of Burrow Couch. Burrow brings style and comfort to a whole new level and ships to your door fast and free. Your relationship with your couch will never be the same. Burrow sofas are ergonomically designed so I'm comfortable while I watch 77 Sunset Strip. Customize your Burrow sofa to match your style by selecting the color, size, armrest height, and leg color. Shipping is fast and free, unlike the rest of the furniture industry. I can attest to that, those fucking slow bastards. And did I mention it has a built-in USB charger? In your couch. That's amazing. Enjoy 30 days of cozy
on your comfortable Burrow, risk-free, or try out Burrow at one of their partner showrooms today. Customize your own Burrow and get $75 off your order by going to burrow.com/burr, B-U-R-R. That's burrow.com, burrow.com for $75 off your purchase. Burrow makes the luxury couch for real life. And lastly, but certainly not leastly, oh, Butcher Box. I love these guys. Butcher Box delivers healthy, 100% grass-fed, grass-finished beef, free-range organic chicken, and the game-changer, heritage bread pork, the best pork chop I've ever made at home. It's incredible. The incredible quality of Butcher Box meat starts with a commitment to raising animals humanely and free of antibiotics and hormones before they kill them. Each box comes with at least 9 to 11 pounds of meat, which is enough for 24 individual sized meals, or a couple of lunches for a fat fuck. You can choose from 5 different boxes, all beef, beef and chicken, beef and pork, mixed box, and custom box. The custom box let you choose your own cuts. In order to receive free bacon for life of subscription, plus $10 off your order, go to butcherbox.com, click on the big bacon banner on the homepage, and use the Burr, B-U-R-R, at checkout. Go now, limited time offer. It's the best pork chop I ever had. Definitely recommend the heritage bread pork. I'm sure the chicken and beef are great too, but I'm loving the pork. All right, there you go. Oh, look who's back, just in time for football season. DraftKings, everybody. Football is about to make its long-anticipated return to the living rooms all across America. That means bragging rights and huge cash prizes are up for grabs at DraftKings.com, the leader in one-week fantasy sports. With one-week fantasy at DraftKings, you choose when to play. Draft a new team every week with no season-long commitment. At DraftKings, you are the GM. Just choose your players, stay under the salary cap, and see how your team stacks up against the competition. No matter what your skill level is, there's a contest waiting for you at DraftKings. So, if you've been thinking about trying one-week fantasy football, now is the time to play, because nothing makes football Sunday more exciting than when you have a DraftKings lineup on the line. To celebrate week one, DraftKings is hosting a free team pick'em promo. Download the app and go to DraftKings.com now and use promo code Burr. All you have to do is pick at least half of the winning teams correctly and you'll win a share of $1 million. That's code Burr, B-U-R-R, only at DraftKings, the game inside the game. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/pick'em for details. All right. This is not a bomb test or anything. I'm doing the reads in the car here. I am not driving. I'm being safe. All right, hymns, everybody. Sexual performance issues, more common than you think. You're 25%, over 25% of new ED cases are guys under 40. 40% of men by the age of 40 struggle from not being able to get and maintain an erection. Even the world's greatest actor can't fake one. Why do guys turn to weird solutions or do nothing when they can turn instead to medicine and science or lay off internet porn for a couple weeks? For hymns.com, a one-stop shop for hair loss, skin care, sexual wellness for men. Jesus. Thanks to science, ED can be optional. No waiting room, no awkward impersonal doctor visits. So what's wrong with you, Schmeckle? No lines, save hours by going to forhims.com. Hims connects with you with real doctors and medical-grade solutions to treat ED. Products are shipped directly to your door with ED products stamped on the side of the box. Kidding. Well-known generic equivalents to name-brand prescription to help you combat ED. Try Hims for a month today for just $5. We'll get you started for just $5 while supplies last. See website for full details. This would cost hundreds if you went to the doctor or a pharmacy. Go to hims.com, hims.com/BURR, capital ED. That's forhims.com, forhims.com/BURRED, forhims.com/BURRED. All right, the next one. Who do we got here? Who's up next? Oh, honey. Millions of people are using honey to save money while shopping online. And why wouldn't they? It's free, takes just two clicks to add to your browser, and saves you tons of money. It's ingenious. But one of my absolute favorite things about honey is how much better it makes shopping on Amazon. Yeah, turn right here. Please personalize this to make it your own. I am making it my own. Honey magically adds all sorts of useful information right on your Amazon page of whatever you're looking for. Just shop like you normally do. Honey automatically searches the 2 million sellers on Amazon to find you the lowest price. It even shows you the item's prices. Changes so you can decide if you want to buy or wait for the price to come down. If you decide to wait, just add it to your Honey drop list and it'll notify you if the price drops. When Honey's got your back, you'll never overpay for anything on Amazon again. What's the last purchase you made with Honey on Amazon? How much did it save you? I haven't used it yet, but I'm sure it's great. Was that personal enough? There's no reason to add Honey to your browser today. It's free. It just takes 2 clicks to install and we'll make sure you always get the lowest price on Amazon. Add Honey to your browser for free right now at joinhoney.com/burr. That's joinhoney.com/burr. We ended up watching something on TV. One of the sickest stories ever. And we're like, dude, this has to be a fucking movie.
The megastar, who was Benjamin Button, then Moneyball's Billy Bean, is now interested in playing none other than Jimmy Keen.
And, of course, in the end, they said that they were going to turn into a movie. It was basically about this guy, right? It was this fucking show about serial killers. So, of course, we're going to watch it.
In 1993, Jesse was a high school sophomore devoted to home and family.
Jesse was really very much of a homebody. So one bike ride up the road and back, she was done.
So we're watching this thing about fucking serial killers. And the whole time they're talking about this drug dealer kid. And we're like, how the fuck does this... And they keep showing this serial killer guy. It's like, and they're showing the drug dealer older, you know, and not in jail and all that shit, going, what the fuck happened? You know, just the way they put it together, it was riveting. You're like, what the fuck is going on here? So basically what happened was there was this kid, right? He played football. They called him the assassin because every game he ever played, he took somebody out, right? Was it the assassin?
I heard they called you the assassin in football. That was a good thing, I take it.
Yes.
Was that Jack Tatum? Now I forget. But it was something like assassin. So he fucking, and just movie star good looks. All right. And he's the star of the football team. All the women loved him. I mean, this guy was just like, he looked like a movie star and his life was a movie. So his big Achilles heel was he didn't have money and he wanted to keep up with the rich kids. So he started dealing drugs and he ended up being really good at it. And by the time he was like 20 years old, this fucking guy was making like $1 million a year.
He expanded to cocaine, and at the tender age of 17, he moved to Chicago, where the business and profits exploded. He was now a big fish in a bigger pond, Lake Michigan to be exact. He was his own in crowd, fast cars, faster women, and souped up living.
All the hot spots, all the big nightclubs, all the owners I was in tight with. I would come in there and have carte blanche in every place that I went to.
Were you feeling invincible?
Yeah, there was a certain point where I would say there was an invincible feeling.
It almost seemed like this American greed type story as opposed to this serial killer thing. And they keep going back to this serial killer fucking piece of shit who's killing these girls, these teenage girls. So long story short, he's laying in bed one night and he's just thinking, I got to get out of this life. I'm so sick of looking over my shoulder. I can't do this anymore.
how am I going to get out of this? But he's addicted to the money. He's addicted to the life and all of that type of stuff. And he hears this rattling on the door. And I'm thinking, oh, fuck, it's the serial killer. And he obviously fought the guy and won. What the fuck happens, right? All of a sudden, the door fucking...
boom, the whole door just blew off the hinges and came flying into the house. And all of these DEA, FBI, and locals all came in single file line with their automatic weapons.
Was that alcohol, tobacco, firearm? I don't know what the fuck it is. So anyways, they fucking come, FDA, Food Drug Administration, the Chicago Transit Authority, I don't know what the fuck it is. Whatever the fuck that thing is, they come fucking blasting through the door, run up, you know, a bunch of guys with the fucking miner helmets on, with the fucking Uzis from a Steven Seagal movie. Don't get on the ground. If you fucking look at me, I'll blow your fucking head off. And the whole thing was over. And he disgraced his family name.
Did your pop know what you were doing? Did he suspect?
He didn't suspect it until much, much later.
Jimmy grew up in the shadow of his father, Big Jim, a giant of a man who was a cop, fireman, and hero to his son.
He's my best friend. Yeah, he was my backbone in pretty much everything I did.
And they never said it, but I imagine they probably took his fucking pictures down off of the high school and all of that type of shit. You know, did some OJ shit, right? Take all his trophies and all that fucking shit. So it's over, right? So then he's sitting in jail. And they try to get him to flip. And this is just some fucking kid from the suburbs, right? So I'm thinking, well, he's out. He must have ratted somebody out. So he doesn't rat anybody out. He's like, I'm not telling on anybody. So then they're like, all right, well, fuck you. So now you're not going to help us out. We're going to fucking give you, you know, the full extent of the law. We're going to prosecute you. So they gave him 10 years. The guy gets 10 years.
And in court, Beaumont showed Keen no mercy.
He was coming at you on all fours, though, wasn't he?
Oh, God. He was a bulldog.
Jimmy was convicted and slapped with a 10-year sentence.
He's in like a minimum security because, you know, he didn't really have any violent past or anything. He was just getting people addicted to drugs. That's all he was doing. So his dad is devastated and all that shit. And he goes to jail. And meanwhile, this serial killer guy is out there killing these girls. So I'm thinking, what the fuck? And they keep going to commercial. Me and Verzi are looking at each other going, how the fuck are they going to tie this fucking thing together?
The baseball kid comes with bat and six balls. Assembly required. New from Ohio Art.
Long story short, they ended up catching the serial killer guy. I forget how he fucked up, but they ended up catching him. And one of those things where you seem like relieved and all of that type of shit. And but he had this thing where he wouldn't admit to all of them. And if he came at him, he would just clam up and wouldn't say shit.
He denied confessing to any killing, including Jesse's and Trisha's. What's more, he claimed it was all a misunderstanding about disturbing dreams he had.
So he ends up going to jail for like either one or two murders for life. He's never fucking getting out. So meanwhile, there's all these parents whose daughters were killed by this guy and they don't know where they are. And all they just want is the body. They want fucking closure. And these parents are just tortured by this fucking thing. All right. So they're trying to figure out because he won't talk to them. He won't tell them anything. And he's also in denial and he keeps going like, actually, I didn't kill him and blah, 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 blah. And then one day be like, oh, I did. And I blacked out. I don't remember. Like the guy was just a fucking creepy goddamn mess. Right. So they end up coming up with this idea that they need a charismatic person to talk to this, to befriend this serial killer, gain the guy's trust. And maybe he'll tell him where like the bodies are and that type of shit. So they go to this fucking dude, Captain America. You know, the football player, the movie star looking guy who fucked his whole life up because he got involved in drugs, right? And they approach him to go from his minimum security to go into a maximum security prison with his murderers, rapists, animals, fucking maniacs, right? And, you know, to go in there and they said, if you get this information out, we'll take your sentence and we'll just wipe out the rest of it. We'll set you free. He'd already done like 3-4 years.
And he came up with an outside-the-box scheme to get home, which would risk the life of that charismatic convict he had just put away for dealing drugs, Jimmy Keen.
What happens when I've got to deal with all these crazy killers and stuff? You know, what if I get shanked? What if I get killed? I mean, am I going to survive this?
So, meanwhile, Captain America's dad had a series of strokes, you know, and was basically going to die, and he had to go see him. I mean, it's like a fucking movie. So he goes, all right, fuck it. I'll do it.
We cried through the window to each other, and we talked for a while, and he didn't even know about the offer. Nobody knew about it.
Jimmy now realized that he had a one-time-only opportunity to fix the mess he'd made for himself and get out while his dad was still alive.
But I want it in writing that you're definitely going to let me go. So they say, yeah. So they go, all right. He goes, here's the deal. We don't want you to approach him for at least 6 months because he's very cagey. And if you fucking, you know, come at the guy the wrong way, he just fucking walls himself off and that's it. All right. So this kid comes, he goes in, he goes, fine, cool. And he walks in there. He's like, I don't have 6 months. My dad's going to die.
All he wanted was to get in and out with Trisha's location and as fast as possible.
Within the first 2 months, first 2 hours, he goes into the fucking jail and he fucking, on purpose, accidentally bumps into the guy.
I was waiting with my tray and I look over and there he is, 20, 25 feet away from me, sitting there all by himself. It felt like a magnet was compelling me to come to him. And finally, I bumped shoulders with him on purpose.
And then he immediately apologizes. He goes, oh, I'm sorry about that, buddy. I didn't see you standing there. Hey, he goes, I'm new here. Do you know where the library is? And the guy tells him where the library is. And he goes, thanks, man. You know, and he said something to the effect of, yeah, you're a good guy. Gives him a little slap on the shoulder. That's it. He goes to the fucking library. And they set it up where his cell was right across the hall from the other guy. And he says to him, he goes, hey, man, he runs into him again. Hey, where you staying? Blah, blah. He goes, oh, that's crazy, man. You were right across. And he says, oh, it's good to be with a good guy like you, blah, blah, blah. Right across from each other. And he goes, so then fucking the serial killer guy one day goes, hey, you want to get lunch with me and my friends? And at this point, me and Verzi were fucking laughing our balls off going like, this kind of social shit happens in prison? Like, hey, some friends of mine are going to have some other murderers and serial killers. We're going to get some, a frap and a fucking rap or something. You want to come down? Just kind of hang out. I'll meet you down in the commissary, right? You always think it's all just getting shanked and trying not to get raped, right? So he goes, yeah, cool. So long story, he gains this guy's fucking confidence. And one time he actually goes in and he sees the guy. He's got a map with all these red dots on it and all that shit.
And as I came up from behind him, he had all these little different statues lined up. 10, 15 of them maybe. And I couldn't tell what they were at first. And as I got closer, I noticed he had a big map laid out. And he dove on that map and folded that thing up really fast and slid it off to the side of the table. And I go, what are these things anyway? He says, there are these little falcons.
He's trying to get to it and blah, blah, blah. So the guy starts opening up and he finally ends up telling him this fucking stories of all the women that he killed and all of that shit. And sort of kind of mentioned, he gave him like sort of enough information about where the bodies were. And the Captain America guy kind of fucked up because once he got the information, he thought he had enough information to find all the bodies and get himself out of prison. And he just couldn't. Oh, wait, I forgot the best part. I'm sorry. This is going to be like a Tarantino movie. Now we're going to jump backwards. Another way he gained the guy's confidence was one day they were sitting in the TV room watching TV. He's sitting next to this guy, and this big fucking giant dude just gets up and turns the channel without talking to anybody. And as he turns the channel, the serial killer, who was like a meek little guy, and he just sort of said out loud to nobody, he was like, hey, I was watching that.
That's not right. I was watching that.
Like, powerlessly, really fucking weird psycho thing. And the fucking Captain America dude walked up to the big dude and knocked him out. Just beat the guy's ass, hit him with an uppercut, fucking forearm shiver, and just sent this guy flying through some chairs. And then they stuck him in the hole. That's what happened. And then when he fucking comes out, tell me this doesn't sound like a fuck. I almost don't even believe it. So that's when he gained the guy's confidence. That's when the dude told him. And the second he tells him, this dude, Captain America, couldn't hold it in anymore. And he goes, dude, you know what? You're a sick fucking piece of shit, blah, 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 and flipped out on him.
Then you got a little full of yourself, didn't you?
I did. That I thought it was good for me to unload on him and tell him what I really thought of him and who he really was. I said, I'm going to be going home tomorrow, Larry. And I said, you're a crazy killer. And I started calling him everything you can think of.
And then the guy, the serial killer, just backed up and he goes, who sent you? And he goes, so-and-so sent you, right? And he named the prosecutor, and then he just fucking disappeared, and the map disappeared too. So then it's like they didn't get the map. So there was a thing, we don't know where the fucking bodies still are, blah, 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 blah. But you got him to admit to these fucking murders, so we know that the women are at least dead, blah, blah. Basically, in the end, he did enough where he got out. And the whole time we were watching this fucking thing, we were just going like, this is a fucking movie. Now, I guarantee you, when they do the fucking movie, they don't even need to add any mustard to it. But I guarantee you, in the movie, he won't flip out in the end. You know, or if he flips out, but then he somehow, and then that'll be the last little like hiccup, like, oh no, they didn't find the map. In the movie, he'll find the map, and then the parents will actually get closure. But in real life, you know. Hey, what's going on? It's Bill Burr, and it's the Monday Morning Podcast for Monday, August 30th, 2010. Oh, look at that. There's 31 days in August this year. I didn't realize that. I thought all the rent and everything like that was going to be due on Tuesday. But this year, I think it's every 9 years, there's 31 days in August. And you can look that up, too, people. That's some, 40 days has November, April, September, and remember. All the rest got 28, dude. So I don't know what you're talking about. Isn't that how it goes? Anyways, August 29th, I'm recording this. Tomorrow is August 30th, and you're listening to it right now on August 30th. All right. What happened to the summer? Where did it go? It's over, man. I hope you enjoyed it. Didn't I tell you guys to enjoy it back in May? Did you listen to me? You didn't, did you? You thought, we got plenty of time. There's plenty of fucking time. Then what happened? Next thing you know, it's August 29th. You know, you're looking down at your pasty legs going, Jesus Christ. You know, your farmer's tan from mowing the fucking lawn. You didn't do shit. I warned you. Told you in May it was going to fly by, and what'd you do? Did you spend one night roasting marshmallows, as they say in Boston? I'm doing this on the 29th, so it will be ready early on the 30th. And also because this week, as of right now, when you're listening to this, I will be on set. Isn't that exciting? This whole week, I'm shooting my pilot for Comedy Central, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And unless we make a horrific piece of shit, according to the deal, it's definitely going to air. So I better make sure that my acting game is where it needs to be because we start shooting tomorrow. I'm actually really excited about this show. And as always, I don't name names. So, you know, you don't even need to know names because if it's going to be worth anything, you're going to know who the fuck's in it. But I think it's going to be great. And I'm really excited about it. And maybe this will be the one that actually gets me to be on TV, right? Then all of a sudden it goes to a second season. And then you notice I'm getting a little bloated. You know, I come to your town to do stand-up and I'm just not as sharp as I used to be when I was hungry, when I wanted to have a show. And all of a sudden you guys are like, you know, he's not as fun as he used to be. I like the old Bill Burr, the pre-TV show Bill Burr. Why is he wearing a bathrobe and slippers on stage? Is he working out a character for his new hit show? Or did he just roll out of fucking bed to come down here, drink a little scotch, and collect his fucking check? That's exactly what I'm going to be doing. Okay, people? When I get on television, if this TV show goes, my stand-up is going to go due fucking south. I'm telling you right now. I never liked stand-up. It was all just a tool to get me. I'm fucking with you. I'm actually already paranoid about that. I'm already sitting there. I'm thinking in my head, typical me, typical East Coast negative guy just looking for the next shoe to drop rather than being like, oh, fuck, I could be on a hit TV show and, you know, my life could be awesome. I'm already thinking, oh, fuck, what's going to happen to my stand-up? How can I work in guest spots during the week so I can stay sharp? You know, I don't trust these fuckers. Yeah, it's a hit. Oh, is it? Yeah, I'm believing you. You guys have fucking pulled that Charlie Brown, pulled the football fucking thing, or Lucy, whatever that cunt's name is, from the Peanuts gang. Too many times, so I'm not buying it. I won't buy it till it goes into syndication. What's your show about? What is it? Is it a comedy? Is it a drama? It's on Comedy Central. Just you and anybody who has a Nielsen box, whenever the fuck it comes out, please sit there. Find the oldest person on your block, because God knows they have it. Whoever is the oldest person on your block or whoever's the most into Jesus, they are, oh, Jesus. They're going to be the ones who have the Nielsen box. Those are the people that determine, I guess. You know why? Because they actually have time to write letters. Anyways, so that's the deal. I'm shooting a show this week that is going to air on Comedy Central at some point. And speaking of something airing on Comedy Central, just to let you know, my stand-up special, Let It Go, is finally airing September 18th on Comedy Central. And I believe it's going to be uncut, hopefully, and they'll show it late at night when my crowd is just stumbling in from whatever fucking, from the last 4 hours of mistakes that they made on a night of drinking, okay? And after you have it out with your significant other and she doesn't let you sleep in the room, or whatever, he doesn't let you, whatever sloppy mess you are, just go, you know, sit down in your fucking lazy boy and watch my special, September 18th. All right, there we go. I got all the hype out of the way. And I had a bunch of shit to talk about this week, and I know the NFL season starts on Thursday night, because the NFL is basically, I think, slowly trying to be 7 days a week, which I am against, you know? I always thought it was really unique how it all happened on fucking Sunday. And everybody was just fucking getting geared up. It's the anticipation. Leave them wanting more. Classic show business theory. And the NFL had it like nobody else. And now they're talking, let's add more games. 18-week schedule. 18 games, right? Is that what they were trying to do? They already got the bye week, so they got an extra fucking week in there, right? For more advertising. Now they're trying to add two more days. Now the shit's, you got kicking it off on a fucking Thursday. They're playing in Europe. You know, I really sound like a crabby old man. Well, they used to only play on Sundays. And everybody gathered around the TV. I liked it better that way. What the fuck is wrong with Sunday? You know, you go to church, oh, Jesus, and then you sit down, you get drunk, and you watch the football games. Nobody gets hurt. Show up Monday all hungover. Going, dude, what the fuck did they run it for there? Oh, they should have passed it. That's what I would have done. That's what I would have done, seeing as now that I know that they shouldn't have fucking run it in that moment. So anyways, I was trying to figure out what the schedules were, and I ended up going on to see what the Patriots have. We got the Bengals the first week with Batman and Robin. really gay. Anyways, so I was checking out the schedule, and one of the stories, if you can fucking believe this, the story is Tom Brady, how he can swing the Peyton Manning debate in 2010. And this is what it says. The Tom Brady-Peyton Manning debate has raged for the past decade and will probably continue to do so until the two retire. Every time one seems to make their case, the other offers a rebuttal the next year. All right? All of that's fair enough. I'll even give you that. But this is what they say. Manning made his case in 2009 by carrying his team to a Super Bowl berth with an MVP season. That's what they said. Completely ignoring the fact that the guy had the game in his fingertips, just like Tom Brady has 4 fucking Super Bowls, and Tom Brady has delivered 4 fucking times. Giant fans, shut the fuck up. The last time he got the ball, he got the ball with like 8 seconds left. You're going to be cunts and call him that, you know, and count him on that one. But even when we lost to the Giants, when he had time to drive down the field, that's exactly what the fuck he did. For the go-ahead score, for the unprecedented fourth time in the biggest fucking game in professional football. He's done it four fucking times. He's got three rings. Peyton Manning has one fucking ring, and he had the Super Bowl on his fucking fingertips, and not only does he not drive him for a, and I know I'm going through this again, but I have to, because people keep forgetting this shit. He had the game-winning drive right there. Go ahead, Peyton, drive down the fucking field. Not only does he not score a touchdown, not only did he not get a field goal, he throws a pick fucking six to lose the game for his fucking team. And somehow, I want to know where the debate is. Where is the debate? Indianapolis Colt fans, which would you rather have as a quarterback? A guy who absolutely annihilates the competition in the regular season, okay, and can only get you one championship? Or would you rather have the other guy who wins three out of four fucking Super Bowls? What would you rather have? You want three rings or you want one? The debate is fucking over. There is no debate. As far as I'm concerned, Peyton Manning is still chasing old date rape there in fucking Pittsburgh. Because as much as you wouldn't want that son of a bitch around your daughter, God damn it, you got to want him under center. Right? This is bullshit. They just put this out here to get people all pissed off. Just like that mosque at Ground Zero that had me pissed for 48 fucking hours before I found out it's not at Ground Zero. It's fucking 2-3 blocks up the street. And it's not a mosque. It's like a fucking rec room. All right? I don't give a fuck. You want to go in there and play ping pong and talk about Muhammad? I don't give a shit. But what did they say? It's a mosque. It's at Ground Zero. They're building a bronze statue to Osama bin Laden. You should have seen me frothing at the mouth like a dog that had gone mad. Actually got into a fucking debate about it with somebody. You know? When I thought it was an actual mosque, when I thought it was being built at Ground Zero, like I was told, they're building a mosque at Ground Zero. You know? So I was like, you got to be fucking kidding me. Not only did they not rebuild the towers, not only are their architects still acting like they give a fuck when the reality is they want the contract so they can put their fucking name on the building. Not only has that bullshit been going on for, what, 9 fucking years. Now they're going to put a mosque down there. I was literally beside myself, and I was getting into tons of arguments out here in Hollywood about it during the 48 hours when I actually thought they were building a mosque at Ground Zero. And they fucking, you know, these douchebags out here, they were like, it's not the religion, it's the fucking... Like, I don't realize that. Like, I realize that it's not the religion. I realize that shit. But, you know, how about just having a little bit of tact, you know? You know what I mean? That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. I know it's not the fucking religion, okay? But, you know, look at my religion. Look at the Jesus freaks go out there, kill fucking abortion doctors. Now, if 18 of them flew a fucking, a Cessna into an abortion clinic, fucking blew the goddamn place up, and then the next day they wanted to put a big bronze statue of Jesus across the street, and people, the sons and daughters of the abortion doctors, had a fucking problem with that, I would be like, yeah, you know, do we really have to put it there? I mean, it's not us, right? We didn't do it. It's not the whole fucking religion, but really? All the fucking places you could put a big bronze statue of fucking Jesus there? Oh, Jesus, right? We can't just fucking, you know, maybe go like quarter mile, half mile up the fucking street. That's all. That's all I'm saying, right? That was my fucking argument, and we were going back and forth. Then I realized that's not even a goddamn mosque. It's not a Ground Zero, okay? 3 blocks up the street, they're building like a lemonade stand or some shit. And as always, I didn't really quite fucking read up on that part of it. But, yeah, so whatever. So that's the same thing with this Tom Brady, Peyton Manning debate. There is no fucking debate. This is ESPN guys, all these sports guys, there's nothing left to fucking debate. So they learned that with that Yankees-Red Sox. Keep pitting them against each other, even when everybody's kind of over it. You know? It's like once the curse of the babe was broken, it's fucking over. Who gives a fuck? Yes, we're going to play each other. Yes, the Yankees will win it again. Oh, look, the Red Sox won it again, too. It's over. And they keep trying to sell it to you.
One of the greatest rivalries.
No one gives a fuck. And by no one, I mean I don't give a fuck anymore. Therefore, nobody gives a fuck. And this Tom Brady, Peyton Manning debate, there is no fucking debate. Peyton Manning cannot carry. He can't hold fucking Tom Brady's jock strap. He can't. Look, anybody can kick the shit out of people during the fucking regular season. But when it counts, what do you do? What do you do? Do you stand there like a man all fucking relaxed like Joe Montana and drive your team down the fucking field? Or do you get that little bitchy tone in your fucking voice? Okay, guys, it's going to be on two. And you get under center. Well, whatever you do. Got to beat Marcia. Got to get closer than a quarter of an inch. Remember that when Greg Brady was driving that fucking Caprice Classic or whatever the fuck they had, whipping it around the parking lot? Making fun of how broads can't drive? One of my favorite fucking episodes of the Brady Bunch. My two favorite episodes was the first half of that Brady Bunch episode when Greg Brady was bringing the fucking hammer down and was going, let me tell you three fucking stepsister bitches something. None of you broads know how to drive, and that includes your mother, who I'm banging, by the way. Who I'm banging, by the way. All right, with her weird-ass haircut. Whatever the fuck, you know? Did anybody ever have that fucking haircut other than her? I mean, that is like, I don't know what it was. She took like Mo from the Three Stooges haircut, and then she put a fucking sort of mullet that she did a little flip to on the back. Anyways, let's get back to you broads. You don't know how to fucking drive. That goes for you with the fucking speech impediment. You don't know how to fucking drive. Jan, with your awful fucking Hasidic Jew fucking curls. I don't know what you're trying to do, you know? And Marcia, who I don't know why I'm not banging you. For some reason, I skipped over you and started banging your mother, right? None of you bitches can fucking drive. And I'm watching this episode going, this Greg Brady's the shit. Greg Brady, fuck Fonzie, you know, with his stupid fucking, you know, spinning around and punching a jukebox. So it plays shaboom, shaboom. I don't give a fuck about that. I like Greg Brady. You know? For as much as Fonzie was talking shit, he was always nice to the ladies. And that's seventh grade game with the woman. Greg Brady, that's how Greg ended up fucking their mom, because he didn't give a shit. He didn't give a fuck. Greg, fuck you, Carol. You're not my mother. You don't know how to drive either. Oh, my God. Took him in that fucking groovy attic they had and started blowing him. That's why his hair got all curly. So anyways, that episode, he's telling these fucking broads that they don't know how to drive. And then in the end, of course, because they always have to cater to women, these nerdy fucking writers, you know, and then in the end, they fucking, you know, Marcia goes around this stupid fucking track. And they had a cone with a little egg on it. You guys have seen this. And she fucking, you know, I forget, whatever. Marcia chokes in the beginning and then in the end just to fucking even it out so everybody's happy and they can sell Tide during the commercials. They have Greg fuck up and knock the egg off. That's what I was trying to get to. Wasn't that what I was trying to get to? That went on so fucking long I can't even remember. All I'm saying is that the guy you want, you don't. It doesn't fucking matter how many yards you throw in the regular season, it doesn't fucking matter. Unless you got him on your fantasy fucking team, whatever that means. Evidently, that makes you sit up a little bit straighter in your IKEA office chair on Monday. I don't know what the fuck it means. But at the end of the day, how you judge a quarterback is in those fucking moments, okay? All right, and I understand that Barry Sanders out there played on the Lions. It's a horrific franchise. I can't judge him like that. He never had the opportunity, so I don't. But when I see a guy like Peyton Manning who has had the opportunities and he has not delivered, for them to sit there and try to act like this fucking debate is still going on, it isn't. There is no Peyton Manning-Tom Brady debate. Peyton Manning has to redeem. He has to redeem himself. You don't think the players on his team are fucking questioning him? This is the guy. This is the guy leading us to battle who's great during boot camp, who's great during the war games we play during fucking regular season. But when it really comes down to live ammunition in the fucking playoffs, this fucking guy's curling up in a foxhole, blaming the fucking radar guy. We had communication issues. Fuck you. There is no debate. As far as I'm concerned, you guys can chime in. You guys can chime in. Go ahead, Indianapolis. Huh? With your step team. They're the fucking Baltimore Colts, by the way. That would have been great if I didn't stutter. I said the Baltimore Colts. Anyways, all right. I enjoyed that. I'm sure a lot of other people didn't. A lot of people probably turned that off going, I'm so sick of him talking about Peyton Manning. Well, I'm going to react to everything that they write on the news. And I guarantee you, you're going to watch Peyton Manning again this fucking year. Just light it up. Light it up. Absolutely. 5,000, 6,000 fucking yards. Right? And all he's got is that little fucking, you know, he's got one little Super Bowl ring. You know, like that fucking professional gambler who one time took the big pot, went down to the gift shop, got himself something fucking shiny. You know, what about the other 9 digits? They got nothing, sitting there naked. Losing every fucking night. Coming home to a sparsely furnished apartment. You know, don't even have a flat screen TV anymore. You still got that big fucking, you know, Zenith color TV. That's been around since before the World Series of Poker. That's where Peyton Manning is right now. All right? Okay, I think I fucking pretty much poured salt in the field, burned down the village. All right, that's over. Okay, for those of you who had to sit there and endure that, let's give you some pleasurable viewing. Why don't you guys do yourself a favor and go over to the mmpodcast.com where you can watch all of these funny YouTube videos. Here are the YouTube videos for the week, everyone. First one, number one, search this one. Crazy guy sings karaoke. This is a fucking great one. I don't know. And if you guys want to write a psychological breakdown to this guy, I would really appreciate it because I was trying to figure out this guy's energy, if it's like he's so fucking amped up because he's always wanted to perform that it somehow manifested itself in this spastic fucking look on his face. I'll tell you right now, he's an Asian guy, and the second I saw the fucking look on his face that he makes right before he starts singing and when he sings the chorus, it really reminded me of Killer Khan. Any wrestling fans out there? Do you remember how Killer Khan used to, when he used to come on the mic, they acted like he couldn't speak fucking English? Well, God knows he probably taught at Princeton during the fucking week. He would just sit there going, and having this crazy fucking look at his face. And then Freddie Blassie, or the fucking manager, the Grand Wizard of Wrestling, would step in, acting like they knew how to translate his shit. That's who I was thinking of when you watch this guy. Or he really went through a breakup because he's singing a breakup song and he's mad at some bitch. I have no idea. But it's Crazy Guy Sings Karaoke. Please check that out. YouTube video number two, Hey Bailing Fun. Now, if you're sitting there right now writing down all of these or trying to remember them, just go to the mmpodcast.com. We're going to have them all lined up for you nice and fucking easy. Here's another one, Pole Dance Ruins Wedding. This one was so fucked up, I thought it was fake, but evidently not. Here's another one, Prank Phone Call, Calling in Sick to Walmart. And the last one. This is one for after you've gone to lunch. Look up Fat Rapper. This one you'll have your jaw on your desk looking at this one. Anyways, let's go back to this. Why I always wait for the YouTube videos in the end because I just stop riffing and I just sort of just, you know, and then go check this and then I go into fucking robot mode. Anyways, let's plow ahead here. Let's get me going again. Let's get the funny going again on this podcast. I know. I always trash women on this podcast. And, you know, so I'm always telling the broads over there to fucking, you know, write some shit here. Talk some shit back so we can be nice, so we can be fair and balanced. Like all those news shows, those news programs that they have that have you screaming about mosques. Do you know they're making a bakery where they have the fucking Biggest Loser? Anyway, all right. The Empire Strikes Back is the name of this one. This is women. This is this one female listener I have who just really, just in a just an absolutely beautiful way, just dissects guys here. So we're gonna read this here. Bill, I've been listening to your podcast every week for a while now. I like how you start off giving me actually a really concise form of time, and then you get real vague. I've been listening to your podcast every week for a while now. Every week since 2009. Every for a while. I will see you at 5 minutes past some hour today. Okay? So be there. I've noticed you rag on females, but I haven't been offended. It's funny, and I know it's all in good fun. Hey, here's a cool girl. All right. I heard the emails of the guys who wrote in trashing women, so I am answering the call to write in and trash guys. God bless you. Let me give you a little context about who I am. I'm an industrial seamstress. Can't even say it. I am an industrial seamstress. Does that job still exist in this country? That's great. Who gets to listen to podcasts while I work? I'm 25 and have been married to my husband for 6 years. Together for 8. Okay, let's try to dissect this woman. All right, so she met her husband at 17, got married at 19, and she's an industrial seamstress. You guys want to guess what state she's in? Do you work at the last factory that hasn't been turned into a condo in Ohio? This is like a character on Little House on the Prairie. Does your husband have polio? Anyways, he is also a fan of you and your comedy. We have no kids, but we do have a 3-year-old male Amstaff. I don't know what that is. Terrier. And hopefully we'll have a picture of that on the MM podcast. Amstaff, A-M-S-T-A-F-F, Terrier. And a 9-month-old blue-nosed American pit bull. God bless you. My mother raised me on her own, and I am the youngest of 4 kids. Because I grew up without a father in my life, I am sure that a huge part of my that's a huge part of my disliking of men. Is there anything better than someone who can just address the fact that they fucking hate something and actually put a little bit of it on themselves? I hope I've done that. Why do I hate women? I think it's because I'm a control freak. I think that's what it is. And I don't like people running my life or attempting to run my life. I don't like people butting into my life. And that's how I view women, and it's how I view the marital laws, which I understand were put together by men, but I think that it was put together by the Illuminati to keep people like myself, regular guys, salt-of-the-earth guys, you know? Old fucking just chip-off-the-old-block kind of guys, you know? The kind of guys you could pal around and say gee whiz with, you know? They prevent us from becoming rich. But, I mean, look at Tiger Woods. They cut that man in half. A vagina. Came in like a fucking radial arm saw that flew off its fucking hinges. And just sliced that fucking once-in-a-lifetime talent right in fucking half. Because why? Why? Because he blew out his knee? Because he rested on his laurels? No. Because he got legally bound to something that had a vagina. That right there. And as you can see, you know what it really is I always look at worst case scenario shit. Like, look at me. I'm taping a show that could go on to become a hit show. And what do I do first? I immediately worry that my stand-up is going to suffer. Rather than being like, hey, this could be awesome. All right. Why don't you just admit, Bill, you're a fucking psycho. And you're a paranoid maniac, and you really don't know what the fuck you're talking about. All right, guilty as charged. Guilty as charged. But I do know a lot about Greg Brady. You got to give me that. All right, so here we go. Please let me share with you the reasons why some men suck. Look at this. She even said some men. No wonder you got married so young. This girl's a catch here. All right, number one. She says, I don't like diesel guys. You know, the guys who drive their extremely lifted, tricked out diesel trucks and think that they are so fast. I don't know what that means. So cool, you mean? They are always trying to get me to race them in my Evo. I don't know what that is either. And when I don't, because they're gay, they blow black smoke out their exhaust and peel away. Do you live in Texas? That just sounded like the beginning of like Urban Cowboy. Anyway, something about their huge truck makes them think they have a huge dick. I got to go with you on that one. Yes, I don't like those guys. I don't like people who feel like because of the car that they have, You know, especially myself, because I drive a hybrid. I always get people giving me shit. And then they start talking about their car like they fucking invented it. Like they built it. It's like, no, no, no. I'm sorry. Some other man had to build that for you. Do you understand that, sweetheart? So why don't you climb behind your little shiny toy that you don't even understand how it fucking works? All right, you cunt. All right, can I plow ahead here and actually stay with rather than interjecting my thoughts? Let's let the females talk here. Number two, my mother always taught me that it is rude to stare. I guess 50% of men either weren't taught that or they don't care. It is super fucking annoying when men stare. I totally understand seeing an attractive person and them getting your attention, but it should end there. There are too many guys who just keep looking. Ah, yeah. I'm only guilty of that when I get drunk. Then I don't give a fuck. I'm like, yeah, look at those little fucking titties on her. Excuse me. Quiet down, sweetheart. I'm looking at your cleavage. Anyway, she says, get a grip, fag. Like clockwork, if I am walking up and accidentally make eye contact, this guy might look away for now, but the second I pass him and turn around to bust him, lo and behold, he is fucking staring. All right. I got to tell you something. Staring at a woman, making her feel uncomfortable is definitely not cool. I totally agree with you on that. But, you know, if you fucking walk by me, I can turn around and check out your ass. All right. If you have a problem with that, I feel bad for you, because one day you're going to turn around. I don't know. Could be when you're 27. It could be when you're 47. I don't know when. But one day you're going to turn around and lo and behold, the dude is not going to be staring. And let me tell you something. That is not a fun fucking day. So enjoy those days. As long as he's not running back at you, grabbing your ass. If he's turning around, checking you out, there's nothing wrong. He's not fucking staring. Staring is looking at when you're facing him. That's staring. Staring in your eyes, looking at your titties, checking out your books. Really being disrespectful. That's staring. But when you walk by looking over your shoulder, I mean, that's a fucking, you know, it's a compliment. If he continues to walk and turns around, checks you out, that's actually a compliment. If he stops and he's got one hand in his pocket and it appears that he's doing half the mashed potato dance, like that is offensive without a doubt. Jesus, where did I pull that out of? That would be offensive. All right, but he's turning around fucking staring at you. That means that you're an attractive woman. And stop being so cunty and take it as a compliment. All right? I understand you walk by a construction site and they go, hey, let me see your fucking panties. Or whatever the hell they yell. You know? Whistling at you and all that type of shit. I understand that. Yeah, I totally get that. You know? Treating you the same way I would be treated as when I first walked into a prison facility holding my blanket. I totally understand that. But, you know, if he continues walking in the other direction and turns around and checks out your ass, there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that. That means he liked what he saw. That means you're looking good. That's all that means. He's not fucking staring. All right? Anyway, she goes on to say, everyone notices hot girls and guys too. But it is rude to stare. Okay, I'll go with you halfway on that. You know, when you're looking at me, I shouldn't be staring at your fucking chest or your hips or your ass or your fucking hoo-ha or your legs or whatever. But on the other side, you know, if you're really hot and you wear something really sexy, I mean, guys are only so, like, I don't know. We only have so much control over that. You're fucking with nature there. All right? Yeah, so I kind of blamed you in a way. So you're right. No. Somewhere in the middle of that, I agreed with you. Just take that. Take that home with you. All right there, toots. All right, number three. What is with the nasty bathroom habits? I don't know if some men just don't notice or don't care that the outer rim of their toilets are fucking disgusting. Is it that hard to wipe off what missed the target? A house with only single guys or a men's bar bathroom is proof that some men have horrendous bathroom habits. Okay. Absolutely 100% agree with you other than the public bathrooms. There's nothing more disgusting. The female's bathroom is actually more disgusting because you guys hover and you can't see what the fuck you're aiming at. All right? I used to work in a restaurant, and one of my jobs was I had to clean the fucking bathrooms. And I don't know what the fuck you guys are using all that fucking toilet. It's like a ticker. It's like somebody won a fucking championship in there. You know, the Canyon of Heroes. Like, there's all ticker tape and all kinds of shit all over the floor. It's fucking horrific. And you guys piss all over the place. You know, exactly. You know what I mean? Us urinating, at least we're looking at what we're urinating. You guys, it's like a fucking trick shot. And you're shit-faced in high heels, okay? And you're hovering. Need I say more? All right, but everything else that you said is 100% true. I lived with guys when, obviously, when I was fucking single and all that type of shit, and I never understood that. I never understood the fucking dirty dishes piled up to the ceiling or the food that you fucking ordered 9 months ago and it has, like, disgusting mold on the side of it and thinking all that shit was funny, not mopping up the floor, living like a fucking animal, slice of pizza in the cushion or however they always try to make single guys, you know? You know, like whenever they do in a Hollywood movie, they used to do it like back in the day, like whenever a single guy would get up just to demonstrate that he needs a woman in life. It was actually insulting to both sexes. It was basically saying that this guy needs a woman in his kitchen to start fucking making some food or something. And it was insulting to the guy, basically saying that guys didn't know how to take care of themselves, you know? And I know that there are a lot of guys out there. I know it's just comedy or whatever, but every fucking movie would always start off. The guy would have like chocolate milk, half a beer left, and he'd pour it on some Fruit Loops and then mix the whole thing together in a blender, suck it down, and then do a spit take into the sink. And then that was the deal, to show that he needs a woman in his fucking life. But I totally understand you. It's fucking gross. And there was nothing worse than when I would be on the road when I was younger and I would crash at buddies' places and you'd go to get up. Hey, can I take a shower before I go? They'd be like, yeah, right. And they'd go to give you this fucking towel that, you know, they, you know, check their oil on, wash their dog with, and fucking, I don't know what, drove the car over it. It felt like a fucking stiff piece of cardboard. And then you go into their shower, and it was just, you couldn't touch anything. Hair all over the place, fucking disgusting. I never, never fucking understood that. And I want to tell you, sweetheart, I never lived like that. I've never fucking lived like that. And one of my biggest fucking turnoffs ever are messy women. There's nothing worse than a messy woman. Because as much as I just stuck up for guys that were not all slobs, it's like you're supposed to teach us how not to be fucking animals. You know, the same way I'm supposed to, you know, teach you ditzy broads how to fucking change a light bulb. You know, because you don't want to get your nails, to have your nails melted away, right? You're supposed to teach me how not to, you know, drink milk from 9 months ago. So, actually, the first girl I dated, she had a bedroom where she wouldn't let me in her bedroom. For like the first 3 months we dated, you know? So I just, you know, we just sort of hook up out in the living room. Had to make sure her roommate wasn't home. And I was like, no, honestly, I don't, you know, 3 months, I know you, let me in. And I went in there, and it was a combination storage bin. You know what it looked like? You ever see those guys in New York City, like when they're selling shit illegally on the sidewalk? And all of a sudden a cop comes and they just grab it and they run like hell. Just imagine if after they ran like hell, they just threw it into somebody's bedroom. That's what the fuck it looked like. And you had to like, it was like a hoarder. She was like a fucking hoarder, but her roommate didn't tolerate it. So it was all in her goddamn bedroom. And I just immediately remember looking at this woman going like, yeah, this is, no, I'm not going to live with this girl someday. And then I continued to bang her for another 6 months because I was young. And I was like, but what if I never get another one? Stupid. Anyways, let's plow ahead. Number four, trashing men. The Empire striking back here. I absolutely hate when men honk their horn at women on the street. I have lived. You must be pretty hot if this. Like most of this has to do with you trying to get down the street without getting leered at, getting your butt pinched. What's your next one going to be? I hate when I become a secretary and the boss thinks I'm going to blow him. Number four, I absolutely hate when men honk their horn at women on the street. I have lived on my I lived a lot of my life in an urban setting, and I have walked busy side streets a shit ton. A shit ton. Okay, what good does it do to honk your horn like a faggy coward? You know, you sound like one of those women who, like, throw shit when you get mad. Like, you just, I don't know what your energy, I don't know what the fuck it is about the way you write stuff. You don't write stuff like typically female where it's like, God, it's like so stupid. It's like a fucking fag. Do you throw shit? Anyways, is it satisfying to them? Do they think they are paying a compliment? Ooh, that capital letters really makes me feel, capital letters, so special to have a dirtbag honk his fucking horn. Beep. Usually follow his gesture up with the bird and a loud fuck off. Oh, that's what you do back? That usually makes us laugh. I guess that cat calls, whistles, and smoochy sounds are even... cat calls, whistles, and smoochy sounds are even worse. What the fuck decade are you living in? People still do that? I just do not understand what the benefit of these actions are. From my side of the street... All right, there's a lot of moron guys out there, okay? Who's getting who? One of them plays quarterback for the Pittsburgh Steelers and has one more ring than fucking Peyton Manning, all right? But I digress. But then there's another thing. There's, for guys to get laid, you have to understand we have to get over the fear of approaching women and getting rejected. Like, I know you guys have your level of rejection, but, like, I don't know. As far other than humiliating yourself in front of an audience, just for every regular guy, I would think the most humiliating thing is to walk up to a female and have her shut you down. Just because that whole bullshit of being a guy, you're just supposed to. It's just like from day one, you're supposed to know how to do it. You're supposed to know how to talk to women. You're supposed to, you know all about sex. You're supposed to be, like, worldly before you've even seen the outskirts of your fucking town. And, I don't know. Now with the whole fucking emo generation, I'm sure it's okay to now just say, hey, I don't know how to do this. Can you give me some advice and reach out for help? You know, that shit didn't exist when I was growing up. Like, they actually have reality shows about that. Remember that guy who had the lampshade from True Romance on his fucking head? Remember that reality show? Okay, True Romance, when Christian Slater's, he's going in there, he's talking to Gary Oldman, and he's pushing that lampshade at his fucking head. And there was a reality show on, like, VH1 teaching these nerdy guys how to pick up women, and that guy literally had that lampshade on his fucking head. And as dumb as it was, if you have the balls to wear something like that, some woman is going to come up to you. I'm not saying a good-looking one, but some woman is going to be intrigued with the fact that you so don't give a fuck what people think that you would actually wear that thing on your fucking head, that she would somehow perceive it as some level of confidence, I guess, and that you're going to do what the fuck you want in life, which might translate to them. This is all speculation. You guys can all correct me next week, but... under all that, I don't give a fuck. I do what the fuck I want to do. I think females read that as in, this guy is going to take what he wants in life. This guy is not a scared little bitch. Therefore, he's going to get what he wants. And if he gets what he wants, he's going to be able to provide, which is what I need. Because when I get knocked up, I'm out of the game. I'm uninjured, reserved, just sitting there, you know, with a swollen fucking belly. Can you go this Sunday? No, sir, I cannot. I cannot, right? Who the fuck's going to... Do you realize how fucking scary that is? I just realized that. Like, just as a, you know, being a guy, like, you never think about that shit. As far as, you know, being able to pay your rent. How fucking bad women have it that you got to go out there and try not to get a fucking loser. Like, really just sit there and be like, going in there and trying to pick out the person who's going to be able to have you back for not only, I guess, you know, women can, you know, tough it out for the first two trimesters that, you know, I mean, Jesus Christ, some of them right up until, like, yeah, I'm giving birth next week, right? Isn't that how it goes? Then they just fucking, I don't know. They're like hockey players. Just get stitched right up on the fucking bench and they're right back in there, right? I didn't mean it like that. If you thought I meant like, you know, oh, that was really disgusting. I didn't mean it that way. I was trying to compare it to hockey. Oof, really in a pit right now. Let's see if I can crawl out. Yeah, that must be in a, like if I, like walking into a bar, I used to just, I would walk in there and I would be thinking like a guy, like, all right, who's the hottest girl in here that would actually still consider fucking me? So it was never the best looking chicks. That's, if I could go back in time, that was the one thing that I really don't like about myself is I, whenever I saw the hottest girls in the bar, I immediately just said, ah, Jesus Christ, you know, I'll leave that to the fucking quarterbacks. I was so conditioned in my head to where I was in the fucking pecking order that I didn't even try it. So I went with the, I went after like sevens and eights, you know, it wasn't until I got into show business and danced around like a fucking goddamn monkey on stage. And even then, the good looking ones who came up to you were fucking crazy. Jesus Christ, I'm almost 45 minutes in here. Just quit babbling. Let's actually, right there, that was one of the rare times on this podcast I actually tried to look at it from a female's perspective and actually gave you props. That has to be really difficult and fucking scary. And I think we've had plenty of stories of guys talking about nightmare chicks who come in and take them for everything they're fucking worth. How about all these women out there with who you looked at a guy, he looked like a fucking winner. All right, and then he just ended up being this fucking loser sitting on a goddamn couch playing video games, eating donuts as you're sitting there pregnant going like, really? This is the dude? This is how you provide? You know what I mean? And if there's any females out there who have any sort of inside information on how to read guys so you don't end up with that dude, by all means, write in and I will read the shit, or at least attempt to. And stutter over the goddamn words. All right, number five. It's not over yet. All right, number five. I do not like when some guys cannot control themselves and stare at tits and ass. Didn't you already say this? Doesn't this go under staring? Is this an offshoot? Is this like a spinoff when Flo got her own show off of Alice? Instead of respecting the women by speaking to her face while making eye contact and just using their peripheral vision to get a good idea of her tits and ass. You know what? Go fuck yourself on this one. Why don't you put your fucking tits away, sweetheart? Okay? You don't want people staring at your tits and ass. Stop wearing those fucking hip-hugging jeans with your little booty crack coming out. Stop wearing the shit with the cleavage. All right? Jesus Christ. Why don't you just fucking walk in there top? That's the thing I've always hated. You know, hello, I'm up here. Well, you know what? You're not as good looking as your tits, sweetheart. So why don't you fucking put him away? And he's back. The chauvinistic cunt is back. All right, let's finish reading this. I have one friend in particular who is terrible at this. He even will walk 20 feet out of his way to be at a good angle to see down her shirt or into her skirt. All right, that guy's a pervert. And I got to admit, I'm a pervert too. I swear to God, if you have a fucking skirt on that's really short and you're about ready to walk up some stairs, you know, I'm gonna do a little march in place, let you get a good fucking 10 stairs in front of me. I don't give a fuck. I'm not going to look. I am going to look. Wear some pants if you don't want it to happen, or take the fucking elevator. I'm looking. I'm looking. You know what? You know what the thing is, too? You know what it is? They want you to look. Oh, yeah, they want it. I'm fucking with you. What is that going to do for him? I wonder if he has heard of the internet. There is way better shit on there. There isn't, sweetheart. There's nothing better than seeing live titties. Okay? And you can never see enough of them. So he's probably on the internet too. And whenever he can, he's just checking out titties. Anyways, continuing. It is the 21st century. You can see millions of bare tits and ass in the comfort of your home. I don't get the distraction. That's a classic fucking argument that if you put it in a different situation, you would argue the other side. What if you were in a relationship with some guy and he's looking at tits and ass on the internet? You'd be standing there like, really? You'd rather look at this shit that you can't really even interact with than I got live titties and ass right here. Why don't you come over here? See what I did there? Anyways, initially I thought that I could compile a huge list trashing men, but I've realized that as I'm growing up, I've calmed down some with my anti-men attitude. I have many male friends who I care for dearly. This is all nice. I am a fan of many male comedians, musicians, and artists. In no way do I hate all men. Now, why are you taking it all away? I liked what you wrote. All right, here's someone who just straight up fucking hates guys. Let's read this real quick. And if you're bitching about it as a guy, we fucking deserve it because I got 3 years of podcast trash on women. Here we go. Number one, guys who think one good conversation means they're in. I can't tell you how many guys I've spoken to a grand total of once who think that just because they made me laugh during light conversation that I will automatically bed them. I'm sorry, no. The world doesn't work like a porno, sad to tell you. All right, wire to wire, that's perfect. Can't fuck with that. Number two, guys who use Axe as a replacement for showering. I hope I said that right. Seriously, stop it. Yeah, you smell good now, but as soon as you walk away, that second cloud of ball smell is going to be waiting after you, and no girl is dying to get with that. Two for two. Dudes who can't flirt needn't try. This is an actual conversation I had. Him, what are you doing? Me, watching Jersey Shore. You, him, wondering if you'd suck dick. wondering if you suck dick. Wow. And then her response was, wow, just, oh my God. All right, number four, learn to kiss. Fellas, I know that when you practice on your hand and think you got skills, but when you attempt to French kiss and you end up basically eating my mouth, that's not good. Sweetheart, that works both ways. Female, stop thinking just because you're female, you're automatically sensual and you have a nice touch and you know how to kiss. It is a fucking skill. Some people are born with it, but not everybody. That kissing thing is the only one I'll fuck with you on. All right? I believe I've told this story before, but I'm going to tell it again. All right, I'm in a bar, right? I'm chatting up this broad, okay? She's short, okay? Her arms, there's something fucked up with her arms. I can't really tell. Like that chick who makes the Italian food on the Food Network. If you ever really start looking at her arms, she's cute as a button, but there's something with her fucking arms. She's just not a dwarf. Anyways, so it was one of those deals. But anyway, she was cute though, right? So aside from her jack-in-the-box arms, she was fucking cute, all right? So I lean in, right? We're going to make out or whatever. I was fucking in there, right? Now, when you go to kiss somebody, for those of you who don't know how to kiss, you pick a lip. Either you're going high, they're going low, or vice versa. But what this girl would do, when I went high, she went higher. If I went pick the lower lip, she went lower lip. She would basically do upper lip to upper lip, lower lip to lower. That's what she was kept trying to do. And I got so frustrated at one point, I literally grabbed two handfuls of hair. I was a little drunk on both sides of her head and tried to help her. Needless to say, after she kissed me, my dick was just like, all right, dude, you're on your own. You're on your own on this one. I don't know what you want to do, but I'm good. I'm going to bed now. See ya. See you in the morning. You know, I think I told that other story, that girl, doggy style, you know. When I move forward, you move back. Sounds like a rap song. Is that a Ludacris song? when I move forward, you move back, and then we both separate, and then we come together again like fucking magnets. That's how you do it. This girl would basically, when I went forward, she went forward, and when I went back, she went back. So we're just sort of rocking together. So I was inside the building, but there was no friction. So once again, my dick started being like, you know, if this is how it's going to be, I think, you know, I got work in the morning. So once again, I had to fucking grab her by the back of the neck like some fucking insubordinate hellhound. Another hand on her hip. And I had to hold her still for a second as I went back. And then I brought her to me. And then see that. There you go. There you go. All right. But I understand this woman. You don't kiss other women, so there you go. All right, number five, guys who – by the way, this is fucking killer list here. Number five, guys who insist on a girl who's hairless. I don't think guys realize how much work it takes for a woman to maintain silky smooth skin all the time, but it is a pain. It wouldn't be so bad to keep it up if the guys did the same, but sadly a lot of furry little men stick their noses up at the ideas. How can we be forced to do it when your chinchilla ass doesn't? Someone else made a list and was just talking about the pedophile tendency of that, and I could not agree more. I think it's creepy. 100% hairless is fucking creepy. All right? I'd like a nice manicured lawn, please. That's all I'm asking for. Yeah, that other thing, yeah, that's just, no. The Calvin Klein ad, as I call it. Remember those creepy ads he had with the fucking people, kids down in the goddamn basement? I think that's truly one of the few times in life when I actually get offended. It really bothers me when that ad campaign and when they have like 14-year-old models, you know, sitting on a swing dressed like they're 22 and they look like they just got roofied. That's really, I don't get it. I really don't get that at all. I don't know if it's because there's a lot of gay guys in fashion and they don't realize how creepy straight guys view that. I don't know what, but whoever's, you know, they're really missing the mark on that. That's just, it's fucking unbelievably creepy. And it actually makes me angry when I see it, and I want to find the guy who came up with it and fucking punch him in the face, because it's wrong. It's fucking, it's just, you know, and believe me, for me to be saying something's wrong, it has to be fucking wrong, because I really don't give a shit about most things. All right. But yeah, enough with the fucking sexy 14-year-old who looks like she just got drugged and can't stand up on her fucking Bambi legs. It's fucked up. Okay, number six. And lastly, men who assume oral is always on the table. You are boring, a bad driver, didn't pay for my movie ticket, made me listen to speed metal while we were in traffic, but you think that you deserve to be blown? You have dirty hair. I can only imagine what state your dick is in. Oh, then she writes, what's that in your eye? Oh, it's just a sparkle. That, you know what? That was phenomenal. Phenomenal points, phenomenally written. I'm liking this. The Empire Strikes Back. The women coming back at us. We fucking deserve it. Let's see if I think I got a, okay, let's get to overrated, underrated for the week. This podcast is getting a little old here. 56. Overrated. I like this one here. This guy writes in. He says, the use of the word epic to describe everything. And you know what's funny? After I was just like, oh, that's a classic. I got to put that on the podcast. And then I was driving down the street, and there's some new show coming out, and the advertising billboard says something about the epic of epicness. You know, just classic people in the motion picture or whatever, TV industry. They liked it. We keep finding the word epic on YouTube. Let's use it in our advertising. Kind of like, remember when they were trying to figure out grunge and they just couldn't figure it out how to advertise to the, I don't give a fuck, man. I'm going to shoot myself in the face generation, right? That I semi came up in. I'm like half in grunge, half in hair metal, right? So they actually came out with that movie called Feeling Minnesota. I believe Keanu Reeves was in it. I think it was a Soundgarden lyric. I don't know what. Anyways, overrated. Working in a job you hate and don't want to do anymore. I feel like my job is slowly killing me and I need to find something else, but I'm dragging my feet thanks to this economy. Yeah, dude. Well, the great thing is you've expressed it out loud, you've written it, and now I've said it out loud, so you'll get out of that. Yeah, you don't like it? Just get out. Get out. Just find something else. Anything. Fucking it. Not anything, but you know. Just every day, you just take another swing at the fucking tree. Eventually, you chop it down and get the fuck out of there because it's your life. All right. What is this? Oh, this is some more men trashing. Men with huge muscles. I think we already – I'm not just talking about the steroid freaks. I'm including those guys whose necks are hidden by their overdeveloped shoulder muscles and whose pecs could fill a C-cup bra. And for Christ's sake – stop talking about your workout routines. I don't care how many reps you did while exercising your idiotoids or how much you can bench press. Just mention the fact that the bar you use to bench press weighs by itself 40 pounds. Wait a minute. I just lost the sentence here. I'm so fucking dumb. Just mention the fact that the bar you use to bench press weighs by itself 45 pounds and that you added some heavy crap on that. Heavy crap on. That alone impresses me and doesn't bore me to death. That was actually a great point, and I butchered it. Number two, shaving. I'm not talking about men shaving their faces. Please do it because we women hate stubble. Okay, honestly, we love it in movies and on TV, but the beard burn in real life is just not pleasant. It's not women shaving their pubic hair that is overrated. Naked pussies are... Oh, here's a woman. Naked pussies are another product of our culture's obsession with super thin models and actresses, and it is sick. Think about it this way. Keira Knightley, naked, I don't know who that is, naked looks more like a 10-year-old boy than a 25-year-old woman. And ladies who actually have sizable breasts and shaved crotches look like women on top of little girls on the bottom. Yeah, see, that's just fucking gross. This is the woman. This trend makes me think that all men are secretly pedophiles and like to imagine raping children. All right, you know, okay. I think pedophiles work. You really took it the whole nine yards. So she said, your predictable rant defending men goes here. Now, sweetheart, I'm not fucking defending you. I understand your side on that one. I can already hear you accusing me of being a fat, bitter broad. This is how bad I am. They're anticipating me saying this shit. This is why I'm doing this segment, because I've completely lost credibility with the female audience here. She says, I'm not. I'm 26. And while my bathroom scale, if I had one, would be over 130. I've been in a relationship for 7 years and dated other people before that. So it's not like a fluke that a guy is interested in me. Ah, yeah, you don't need to justify yourself. You made great points. All right, underrated. These are from me here. I'm actually going to contribute here so you guys don't have to work all the fucking time. You can kick back in your cubicles and relax. Underrated. Drinking. This is from me. This is from my heart to you people. Drinking a beer on your porch or balcony at the end of the day. I did it the other day. I got a little fucking balcony, one of those one-bedroom apartment balconies, and I just sat out there. It's impossible. I don't give a fuck what is going on in your life as a man to sit on a porch with a little breeze going at dusk, right, drinking a beer. It's impossible to not feel successful. You feel like you just fucking completed the Transcontinental Railroad and you're the guy who drove in the Golden Spike. All right, here's my next one. Underrated. Actually using your car as a place to park your car. I just feel it's a good sign that you're a well-adjusted human being if you actually put your car in the garage. And if you have a bunch of clutter and garbage in your fucking – if you use your garage as storage also, you know, then I think that's, you know, that's like the Bronx Tale. That's just the tip of the iceberg, and you really just need to get out of that fucking relationship. All right. We're well over an hour. Should I keep going? Do you guys have something better to do? I don't think you do. I'm going to keep going here. Underrated, professional courtesy. I work for a cellular provider in a call center, and the sheer amount of ignorant assholes that call me and curse at me for no reason is astounding. Now, what does that go back to, podcast listeners? This guy's getting cursed at because people don't listen to my podcast, and they don't realize that you don't curse at that guy. After he says what he's supposed to say, you just tell him that's unacceptable. I need to talk to somebody above you. That's what you do. This guy's getting cursed out because people just lack the ability, or they don't have the knowledge to just say it's unacceptable. All right, number one, underrated, sobriety. I don't have time to read all these fucking things. Sobriety, I started. I got to finish it. See, even the word makes... is this underrated? Sobriety. See, even the word makes being not fucked up sound boring. Do people these days lack the intelligence and imagination to have fun without being stoned or drunk off their asses? I'd never seen the appeal in having random words come out of my mouth, rubbing up against a stranger, then falling down and passing out amongst people. I wouldn't trust to walk my dog. If your life sucks so much that you would rather be silly sitting at a dirty, dim-lit bar or smoking pot with strange people living in their parents' basement, then do something to change it. Don't become numb to your life, rage against the routine, and if your life isn't that bad, why risk your health, money, and sanity on recreational poisons? You know what? That might be one of the greatest arguments I've ever had for being sober. It hasn't overrided my sitting on the porch drinking a beer, which I'm going to do right after this fucking podcast. Number two, girl geeks. Why are men so obsessed with the size 2 party girls at fashion and fashionistas? Can we just stop here for a second? Men aren't. You know why I know what a fashionista is? Because of my girlfriend. She loves all of those blogs. She goes on all of those things and she constantly bitches about those size 2 fucking women. And she always says that guys are into them. You guys are the one who read Vogue. You're the ones who read Cosmo. You're the one. They don't have those women in Sports Illustrated. They don't. And when they do the swimsuit issue, they're not size 2. Okay? Go fuck yourself. They're not. Granted, I don't know what a fucking size 2 is. But size 2, that's that little, those lollipop looking girls. The big fucking heads. You know, they look like Raggedy Ann dolls, but you grabbed it by the neck like you were going to, you just wrung out the stuffing through the doll feet. That's what they look like. So yeah, blame the people in the fashion industry. I mean, the hacky theory is that there's a bunch of gay guys in fashion and they're more attractive to guys. I don't know. I've just always heard that. So they're trying to make them have no curves. I don't know what, but yeah, no, I'm not into that. I'm not into that looking like you can barely fucking stand up. I'm not into that. I'll tell you what I like. Go look up Cool Hand Luke and look at the chick washing the fucking car. All right? Go look up that on YouTube. We'll actually have the clip on the MM podcast. Look that up. If you want to be in a relationship where you can relax and not be nagged to dress well and go do something, you want a girl who is more interested in surfing. I don't know where the fuck to go with this. I don't even know where to pick that up. All right, I'm done. I'm done with the podcast. I'm well over an hour. And that's it. That's the podcast for this week. A lot of reading, by the way. That's why it was an hour and 5 minutes, because I'm not the best reader, as you've noticed. So that's the podcast for this week. This week, football season starts. Let the shit talking begin. Patriots have the Bengals next week. My prediction is the Patriots come out with a big victory. I just think, I don't know, it's been real quiet up in New England. I like it. Rex Ryan and the Jets are talking all this fucking shit. And I think that it's great. Everybody's going to be looking at them. I feel like the Patriots are like what the Colts get every year, when nobody really focuses on them and everybody was looking at Bill Belichick and who the fuck he was filming and all the crap that was going on there. Tom Brady's fucking knee. Oh, are they going to be undefeated? It's nice that Rex Ryan, that insecure fat fuck, is running his goddamn mouth with his chronic need to be liked. I cannot wait for week 2, and I just want us to fucking kill the Jets to the point that Rex Ryan just like literally snaps that lap band in his fucking stomach. Just eating lasagna at 4 in the fucking morning, crying. I knew I wasn't good enough. That's the podcast for this week. God bless all of you. Have a great week, and I'll talk to you next Monday. I'll let you know how the pilot shoot went. Okay.